You know, clearly that's exactly what DHS and Judiciary are doing, digging into the facts, and that is part of the congressional oversight function. And that's what they're doing. And they've got more work to do here, as you're laying out, and they're going to continue to do that. So
when will Hillary be in jail?
That's what I want to know.
You know, look, they're going through the process. We're going to make sure that it's done in a way where, as you were just talking about, you know, people have a chance to see and understand exactly what transpired, right? I mean, you just talked about the importance of that, particularly when it comes to, you know, elections and people knowing that our elections are fair, and that, you know, and you know, there's been so much discussion on that for this cycle about making sure that we protect the integrity of the election so that people have full confidence in the whole process.
Texter wants to know a question on a different topic. As many are growing tired of the daily reports that, to me, are irrelevant, can you tell me if all hospitals are actually reimbursed individually by federal dollars? If a COVID-related illness patient is receiving treatment and then dies?
Yeah, so in the assistance that came under the CARES Act, there is assistance for our health care providers for coronavirus. Now, it varies based on what type of institution you're talking about and what they're doing, but there was $175 billion that was provided for our health care providers under CARES. About $125 billion of that has been provided. There's still approximately another $50 billion to go, which is an important point as we talk about additional assistance. There's still assistance going out under the CARES Act.
All right, and if there's any other questions on that, let us know. Here's a here's another. It has to do with your reaction to the president calling off negotiations on the coronavirus relief package, the latest round. I read a great op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, I think it was yesterday, talking about how every American ought to know what Nancy Pelosi did in the way of extortion. And the fact that she refused to accept anything below $2 trillion and their political ransom demand is what blew the deal up. So there's been some blowback on that to say, hey, we need that. But really, the blame belongs with Nancy Pelosi, doesn't it?
You know, the op-ed you cite is really a good one. I do hope people take a look at it because it lays it out very pragmatically. And the Wall Street Journal has certainly criticized the administration when they've disagreed with you know, the president's approach on addressing the coronavirus. So I think, you know, again, they've worked to be pretty even-handed on this thing. And if you read that op-ed, as you're talking about, Speaker Pelosi would not come down below $2 trillion. And she had huge funding in there for states like New York and California that have done really nothing to, you know, get spending under control or balance their budget, which is, you know, again, reflective of things she's putting in there separate and apart from COVID. And essentially what we've tried to do in the Senate is get a targeted approach where we recognize these are taxpayer dollars. And yes, there are places we need to put them, whether it's small business. Obviously, the airlines are struggling right now. Help for people that needed help for our schools. As you know, the kids are back in school and the challenges there, the help for the healthcare facilities like you and I talked about. But again, you know, in a targeted way, not this $2 trillion package that Speaker Pelosi has, and she refuses to come off it. Why not target the relief where it's needed? And she can continue to fight for more if she wants, but why refuse to agree with Republicans and the administration on things we can agree on?
So yesterday, the president tweeted out something later about, you know, $1,200 checks going out. Do you think it's possible to do, you know, break off some pieces of the stuff supposedly everybody agrees on and vote on that?
Well, that's what he's trying to do now, and it's a more targeted approach. It's the right approach. And she has indicated, Speaker Pelosi has indicated, she was willing to do some of those things, so we'll see. But again, that's the right idea, is take a targeted approach and recognize that, you know, the CARES Act was $3 trillion. I mean, this is, and money's still going out under CARES. And we have to, you know, be aware of this debt and deficit.
Mrs. Pelosi's calculation is pure political cynicism. Either Mr. Trump agreed to her terms, or she'd blame him for the failure and use it as an election issue.
That's what I'm saying. That piece really is pretty pragmatic on what's going on. And you're right to cite it, and people should take a look at it.
Yeah. And political ransom, pretty amazing. All right, short break. Come back with more with Senator John Hoeven. We're going to talk a little bit about North Dakota producers and some assistance that they have coming. Secured $14 billion in CCC funding to support ag assistance and other programs. Prevent some farm bill program delays. Senator Hoban going to tell us a little bit about his efforts on that front. When we come back on What's On Your Mind? Back with Senator John Hoban. So let's talk about relief efforts that continue to flow. I know, you know, if you read the headlines, you think, oh, they're shutting off the relief efforts for CARES. You know, it's going away. But there is, you know, I could do some quick math, but there's billions going to North Dakotans, as specifically producers, farmers, ranchers. Tell us a little bit about what is still in the pipeline.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. You're right on there. But first, I got to say, I can tell we're getting closer to the election because last time I was on, it was Beach Boys. Today, it's Van Halen. So I don't know what it's going to be another couple weeks. Led Zeppelin or something.
Just about to ask what comes after that, so we
yeah,
can have it
no,
lined
I,
up.
I can just tell, ramping it up there. Yeah, that's right on. You got to keep in mind there's still a lot of money going out under the CARES Act. I mentioned that in regard to health care, but as you just said, we've got $14 billion going out to our farmers and ranchers now under what's called CFAP 2, which is a coronavirus food assistance program 2, and that's funding that had worked to get in the CARES Act, and so that funding kind of came out in two installments. CFAP 1, which we did earlier, that was about $16.5 billion, and then another $3 billion in purchases, and now this is round 2, which is the $14 billion. We put them in different programs, but wanted to make sure that it got done and distributed in a thoughtful way. So it goes to the point that you were making earlier, and that is that, you know, even as we talk about some targeted relief in areas that need it, you got to remember there's a lot of help still going out under the CARES Act.
And you have identified additional needs beyond what is in the current package, but the dollars are still flowing for this one, and I would assume, you know, that need is going to still be there, so come the next round of negotiations, yeah, whenever they happen, they'll be in that, right?
Yeah, and go back to the article you cited in the Wall Street. One of the things they pointed out, the biggest problem where you're seeing difficulty is where you've got these businesses that still have to be closed. Obviously, the airlines ridership is down, but look at restaurants, leisure industry, those kind of things where they can't open up. And that's why if you look state by state, the national unemployment rate is 7.9%. Okay. So it's been coming down and we're going to show good growth in the fourth quarter in GDP. States like New York and California, where they've been very restrictive on opening up, have much higher unemployment. They're like 12, 10% versus the national of 7.9%. Obviously, states like North Dakota and others are much lower. So, again, it goes back to doing it safely, but getting the economy opened up. That's the real key.
Texter says $40 billion in ag payments this year. It is past obscene, the amount of aid we in ag are receiving. Yes, there are challenges, but for every challenge, there is the bad decision being made to not change our operating style. There are opportunities out there, but nobody will look because it's easier to check the mailbox than it is to implement fundamental change. Stop the spending.
So in case of ag, what you got to keep in mind is that they've had a triple whammy. And so even before COVID, they came into a situation where you had very low prices, where you had, you know, these challenges with trade, then we had horrible weather, then you throw COVID on top. And remember, those farmers and ranchers and the whole food supply chain has to operate through COVID. They don't get to shut down or anything else like that. So, yes, we worked to get them assistance. But remember, it's counter-cyclical. As we move out of this, that assistance goes away. They want to sell to markets. They will sell to markets. Not only do they employ a huge number of people in this country, they generate a positive balance of trade and create, you know, I mean, tons of good job. And remember this is very important. Every single American benefits every single day from what our farmers and ranchers do with the lowest cost, I repeat, the lowest cost food supply in the world and the highest quality.
Another texter says, what does Senator Hoban think of NDSU football team members kneeling? And if he thinks Washington is very embarrassing with what's been going on with our elected president.
You know, I have great respect for the NDSU football program. You know, I'm a huge, huge fan. And All I have to say about NDSU and Bison football is I think they're fantastic. I support them, and go Bison. As far as getting into the political pieces of it, I'm not going to do that. All my exposure to Bison football, to the coaches, the staff, and these young student athletes is they're fantastic people, and you know I support them and am going to continue to support them. Go Bison.
Texter says,
"Go Bison, baby, go Bison."
Can you please ask the senator what needs to be done to get the automatic forgiveness for PPP loans under $150,000 passed? The forgiveness process for the small businesses that receive loans for that amount is becoming very burdening and convoluted with guidance that seems to change weekly.
Another good example of what you and I are talking about, Scott. Let's get some of these things done we can agree on. I think we are going to get them. I'd like to get it done sooner rather than later.
Another texter, do we have an accurate number of how many businesses received taxpayer money to stay afloat this year, which then permanently closed or declared bankruptcy, effectively flushing that money down the toilet?
Whoa, I missed that one. Try that one again.
Asking, do we have an accurate number of how many businesses received taxpayer money to stay afloat, but then closed, declared bankruptcy, and the money's gone?
Yeah, they're tracking all that data. We'll have all that data. I don't know if there's a place you can go to right now to get all of what you just described. Certainly some of it, you know, as to who got funds and that kind of stuff. I don't know if they have track record yet of which companies failed, because that's an ongoing thing. So you'd have to pick a time frame. But yes, I think we'll have good stats on all of that.
Texter says to ask you about the FEC quorum. This came up last time we were chatting, I think. It was the Federal Election Commission. And there was a time that there was a quorum, and then shortly after that there was not, because somebody left.
Right.
Your office quickly followed up on that for us. But
right.
does it worry you that there's not a quorum right now in the FEC?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we need to get a quorum on there. We did that, and then one of the members resigned, and so now there's been another person appointed. That person, I think, is with Rules Committee. Anyway, going through the committee process right now, but I agree, yeah, we need to push to get that person in there so they have a quorum as soon as we can.
Texter sends us a news report from Chicago. Says the feds have seized 19,888 fake state driver's licenses made in China at the Chicago O'Hare Airport. Why are the Chinese making fake U.S. driver's licenses? Why are they being shipped to Chicago's O'Hare Airport? Why are the names completely phony, yet all registered to vote as Democrats?
That's the first I've heard of it, but it goes back to what we were saying before. We need to take every step we can to protect the integrity of our election process. And that's another reason, Scott, why we have the states run it, because that actually helps insulate us from something whereby if somebody comes in and they're trying to do something wrong, you know, it immediately affects all 50 states. This helps us in terms of, again, additional security by having states oversee it. But at the same time, that doesn't mean the federal government doesn't have a role in terms of assisting them and helping provide security.
Senator, thanks for the time. Appreciate it very much. Sorry we're out of time. More after this on What's on Your Mind.